The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Advice giving is a tricky thing, isn't it? When someone has a problem and you are there and you have a different vantage point, you can offer a little bit of critique, a little bit of help. It's a tricky thing to open up your mouth and give that help. First of all, if it's not solicited, if someone doesn't say, "I have this problem, can you help me?" but you go ahead and you speak anyway, it might be a little bit out of your lane. It creates a bit of an awkward situation. Who asked you? I can figure this out on my own. Or perhaps worse, solicited or not, you give the advice, you give the guidance, and it turns out to be wrong. It turns out to be bad advice. The person takes your advice, does what you suggested that they do, and things turn out worse for them. We all know in a community like ours, things like that are not easily forgotten. Remember 20 years ago when you said for me to do this? Everyone remembers. The person is in a worse mess, and your credibility took a little bit of a decrease. Well, there's a good example of bad advice going on in the gospel lesson from Luke today. Jesus, of course, is passing towards Jericho, and a man who is blind, a man whose name is Bartimaeus, we know from the other gospel accounts of the same story, he's blind sitting there, and he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so he does the natural thing. Having heard the reports about what Jesus could do, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He cries out, not in a soft voice, not in a conversational tone, but he yells it. He's got one small window where he too might be able to experience the magnificent, wonderful healing that so many other people had, and so he does what any sensible person in that position would do. He yells to get Jesus' attention. And of course, we heard right away, folks standing near and around him turn and they rebuke him. "Be quiet. Stop yelling. Stop the show. Stop making a spectacle of yourself." Now, Luke doesn't tell us why they did that. He doesn't say, why their reasons for telling this blind man to keep quiet were. Maybe it's because they were a little embarrassed by it. Guilt by association. "Don't have him look over here. I'm standing here. You sound like a fool. He might see me and think that came from me." Maybe, of course, it was just they were a little annoyed at it. Who likes to have somebody next to you, for whatever reason, yelling into your ear? It startles you. It's loud. If you've ever held a crying baby, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it was a little bit they were kind of snobs. "We don't want him thinking people from our place where we are act like this. We ask politely. We use please and thank you. We don't blurt out. It's not how we do things." But regardless of what their reasons were for telling this man to be quiet, for rebuking him, for yelling, we can all certainly agree that was bad advice. It was bad advice on their part in that situation to tell this man, don't cry out to Jesus for help. There are two things that are present, two factors that you always find in every single healing miracle in the Gospels and the New Testament. There's always the person with the apparent need, the person with the problem. Paralyzed person, deaf person, mute person, blind person, sometimes, yes, a dead person. There's always that, a problem person. There's always a second factor, too. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his will and his power to help that person. This fellow, this blind fellow, he was there and he had a problem. He had a great, great need. Moreover, obviously, because of his reaction when he hears that Jesus is coming by, he'd heard reports. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus could do for him. So what does he do? He follows that natural instinct and yells out, cries out, not just once, but persistently. The fix for his need was there, and so why not seize the day, seize the moment, and perhaps, hopefully, just maybe, have his whole life changed? Now, I don't think we have any members of Calvary who are blind. Certainly, nobody here. Some of us have corrective lenses, but I think it's still legal for me to even drive without mine, maybe some of you too. But nobody's blind to where they can't see anything in front of their face. Maybe, of course, you're like me with a little bit of modern art. You look at it, you can see it, but you don't understand it. That's why we have Denny. Thank you, Denny, for helping with these things. But you can see things all the same. Your eyes work, and you can get a sense of what is in front of you. So for us, at least with that point, there's no similarity to Bartimaeus and his problem. But there is this similarity that you and I, every one of us here, has with Bartimaeus. And that is that you have needs that can be met by Jesus. You have problems that you can't fix yourself, that the incarnate Son of God can and indeed wants to help you with. Obviously, for good Lutherans, we go straight away to the ones that are in the catechism. Daily bread. All that we need to support our body and life. We have those needs. We need hunger. Well, we need our hunger satiated. We need our thirst satiated. We need clothing, shelter, jobs, and the like. We have a need for his redemption, the forgiveness of sins that Jesus alone brings. We need faith to grasp hold of that redemption. We have these needs. And also, we have the needs of our problems, our daily problems, issues that arise. Some of us, issues of our body, pains, injuries, illnesses, things that medicine can sometimes help, things sometimes it doesn't seem to have any effect on. There are emotional problems that we sometimes have, problems inside of our head. And of course, everybody in various degrees and seasons has circumstantial problems. Things are going poorly for you in your life because of any number of factors outside of your control. All of these things are needs that you have, fixes that you cannot grasp yourself. And dear friends, this lesson today reminds us the fix for those problems, the solution to those problems, just as it was for Bartimaeus, is ever before you, right in front of you. In the word that he has given us, God speaks to us, and he is open to hear us in our supplications, not crying out on a road to Jericho, but when we pray to our God. The sensible thing for any Christian, any day of his life to do when he has a need and a problem is to cry out to Jesus, to listen to him in his word for the guidance he gives there, and then to respond in prayer, saying in as many words, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, help me. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, Hear my plea and my supplication, and answer it, I pray, according to your good and gracious will. But far too often, what do we do? Far too often, what do we find ourselves having but these problems, and then things, people around us or in us give us bad advice? There are voices that tell us, don't seek help from God, don't pray, don't ask Jesus to have mercy on you. Sometimes that bad advice is literally from other people. People who themselves sort of poo-poo Christianity, poo-poo prayer, and dismiss it as saying, well, that's not really going to help you, or have you looked at it in the past? You prayed for this, and it didn't come the way you wanted to, so what's the point? You're wasting your time crying out to Jesus. Be silent, is what they are essentially saying. Or sometimes, of course, the bad advice doesn't come from other people, but we give it to ourselves. We're the ones that are saying those things to ourselves in the moment where we have this problem, whatever it is, and we talk ourselves out of going to Jesus in prayer. He remembers me when I was 18 years old. He knows the things that I said and did then. It was a long time ago, and Pastor talks about forgiveness, but I really was a pretty bad person. I'm not going to bother him with this because I don't think he's going to answer it. I don't think he's going to help me. I still feel guilty about it. I asked him for this so many times, this other thing, and the answer was no. Why just keep tossing it up if it doesn't seem to stick? If there is no satisfactory answer from the Lord to my requests for his help? Well, this is all advice. From other people or ourselves, it's all advice. But just like the people around Bartimaeus in the gospel, dear friends, it's bad advice. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Don't heed it. You see, today, I want you to learn that when you have a need and the opportunity to go to Jesus, there's always going to be bad advice, things, outside or inside, discouraging you from doing it. And you need to learn to recognize it, and you need to learn to say, nope, I'm going to go to Jesus anyway. I'm going to pray to my Lord and my God, trusting that whether yes or no, he knows what's best, and he will answer, and his answer will be good. Think about Bartimaeus. If he listened to the people that said, be quiet, stop yelling out, if he took their bad advice to heart and acted upon it, what would he still have been? Blind. Blind Bartimaeus, no healing, just left that day the same way as he started it, not being able to see. And if we listen to the bad advice from others or ourselves, we run the very same risk. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, some hockey player said. You see, Jesus is not only your savior from sin. Jesus is your friend, and he is your helper, and he wants to help you. As he's passing by before us, not on the road, but just present with us always as he promised, he wants us to cry out to him with all that we need. He wants to hear our problems. He wants to help us with our problems. He wants us to pray. So why then would we listen to anything or anyone, no matter what its or their intent is, that says don't pray to him? Don't come to your Lord. It's a waste of time and effort. Why would we listen to any bad advice which separates us and removes us a little more from his gracious power and will to help us? Anyone or anything that holds you back is finally wrong, and the reason, no matter what it is, and this is an empty reason. Jesus Christ holds all things in his hand. All power and authority on heaven and earth is his. So let your relationship with him as a Christian reflect that faith, that knowledge, and that hope. Like the man, like Bartimaeus, pursue him doggedly. Tune out the noises around you which say, don't do it. But keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Go toward him, cry out to him, ask him for all that you need. He's ever before you. And when you do, He will give you an answer, and his answer, even if you don't understand it, is the best answer for you. And finally, he has promised you this: you will not be disappointed. He is your God, and he is your Savior. Cry out to him. To him be all glory now and forever. Amen.